Welcome to Drunk on Comics Podcast, episode 202. Woohoo!
Woo!
There isn't much news that we talked about this week, but we kind of got in depth within two books. We talked about Captain America and his whole Hydra situation he's got going on.
Yes, and the internet controversy that's going on with it. And we talked about Tank Girl. Two girls, one tank.
Exo Manowar has a book that you're definitely going to want to be picking up.
And we covered some toys that are coming out soon. And a little Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't forget about the Ghostbusters. Yeah. With that, sit back, relax, enjoy this week's episode, Drunk on Comics, episode 202, Getting Tanked. On this sexy
Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
You had a sexy day yesterday with...
I was camping for the most part this weekend and...
Hanging out with two of my favorite things in life. Ooh. Beer and brats.
Oh, you said with your... I thought you were saying with who. I was like, who the fuck was I with that you knew?
Two of my favorite things, not people.
Yes, they are actually two of my favorite things, which has... I've been re-listening to some of our shows, and you know, we kind of start off the show with a little bit about who we are and our personal life, and if people, I guess people still kind of like listening to that because
I think
still,
we're very interesting.
Well, we have some interesting stuff, but the people are still continuing to download and listen to us, so
right.
They must, or they just skip forward to through this whole segment.
They skip the whole Spanish novella Telemundo shit that we talk about at the beginning of every episode.
Well, I was listening, and it's like, man, we do a lot of drinking.
Wow.
And I've been trying to, like, step back from it to make people, like... give them the illusion that we're actually sober sometimes.
Nobody thinks that.
No, we are kind of lushes, and I just got to start embracing it.
Yes.
I just got to realize that.
That's why
that
I decided
who we are.
We needed to buckle down on the drinking today.
During. Oh, yeah, sure.
So if we get real shitty towards the end of this episode, it's just because we're both drunk. Probably me more than Tony, because his liver is a champ and mine is not so much.
Well, we always kind of get drunk, but not as drunk as we
can. I'm talking about we're getting shitty today.
We
don't have to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have to work tomorrow.
I don't have to work tomorrow
right,
either.
So we can
had
get
a nice long... actually, I had a five-day weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, took a little time off to enjoy the wilderness and fuck the wilderness.
You fucked the wilderness?
No, I'm saying fuck the wilderness.
Oh, okay.
Allergies, man.
Thought maybe you were getting real close with nature.
No, allergies flared up beyond control. Before everyone else came up for this giant festival weekend, staying at my buddy's parents' property cottage, whatever you'd call it in the woods, it was just me and my buddy on Thursday night, and he actually had to leave the bunk bed shed area to go up to the main house because I was snoring like a bear.
Oh.
So, that was kind of like, I didn't know I snored that bad. I've heard these things, but I've never heard me snore.
Right.
It was terrible. Well, then the next day, I was like, wow, like, what? Then I realized maybe it was an allergy. So, I popped in some allergy meds then before going to bed the next night when two of the girls had come up, and there's four beds in this room, so then all four of us stayed in there. And they were like, if you snore again, though, we are definitely waking you up. And I was just happy as hell to see them still in bed.
Right.
Because then, okay, I didn't snore as bad as I did. So then the Saturday night, I was telling them, all right, Friday night snore like a bear, Thursday night snore like a bear, Friday night didn't. So it's right now 50-50 chance. Whoever wants to stay in this bunkhouse, I'm just not sleeping outside because all my friends, it was hot, it was muggy.
Yeah.
I like camping, but what I don't like is sitting in an enclosed plastic thing that makes
like
it even
a sauna.
Hotter. It was a sauna for everyone that was out there. We actually had some electricity, so I brought a little mini fan. That was
excellent.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
technology is great.
So I hated, and I'm still kind of getting over it, my whole everything. I don't know if this is what also made me half deaf, but also this week, and I'm getting a little worried about it. I thought it might be an earache, but I'm now realizing it might be sinus induced, but I really can't hear. So if my volume goes in and out, it's because I'm trying to hear myself
talk. So if I say something and you don't respond, it's because I'm on the wrong side of your body?
Yeah, yes. Or I'm just ignoring okay. you and just pretending.
I just don't know. I'll just pretend you didn't hear me.
But, no, we did go. I actually had a long and as I always try to do, I try to record when we go to these booze fests. I want to, like, you know, bring more of that to the foreground, do some interviews with some brewers. It just never happens because we're having too much fun.
Right.
I mean, when we go to conventions, that's also us having fun. We realize we got to work, but sometimes it's like, kind of not on the clock.
And people at comic conventions are used to having microphones shoved in their face.
Yeah, and brewers aren't.
No.
But actually, some of them are like, this is kind of cool. Someone's interviewing me.
Right.
So I brought it, and I was also going to try to compile a show out of some of my friends, who they all obviously know I do this and listen, but they don't know jack shit about comic books, and kind of do a one-off of, what do you guys know about this? What? But then I was like, oh, we are so shit-faced, it's not even going to work. Be worth it. So,
that would have been awesome, but I would have feared for your ability to even remember that you brought the recorder with you and not have left it somewhere.
That is true as well. I'm also still banking on my roommates randomly coming in like mom down in the basement, like, damn it, what are you guys doing? Well, hey, just come on, sit in, join, so we don't ever hit pause. And so Beer Fest, brats, everything, it was amazing. It's just like any other, you know, beer festival that you go to. You go in there, you get this, but this one also had brats. And
which are delicious.
The bacon cheddar brat, the habanero cheese brat, those were the best. This habanero one burnt my tongue.
Ew.
This garlic parmesan one, that was great. Had one with blueberries in it.
Okay.
That was weird. Different. Yeah.
Was it maple-y too?
No, it was just more blueberry. Mm.
Interesting.
But there was a mustard that was also a jalapeno type mustard. They also had some free kraut that you could just throw on any of the dogs. And then they had this cherry type mustard as well. And that was actually pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah.
The cherry one, obviously, glaze that on almost anything, and you can go ahead and keep going that way.
Right.
We also went to St. Ambrose Brewery. Have you heard of them before?
I have, actually, yeah.
Yes.
Is that where the what I'm drinking came from?
Yes, it is. We had, not stumbled upon it. My buddy's friend's parents, you know, going up there, up north all the time, in Michigan, have gone to this meadery. I love mead. It is the nectar of the gods, as they say.
I find that mead is either really good or not good at all. There's, no in-between mead. It's either shitty or really good.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say shitty. It's just not my taste.
Yeah.
But that shit is potent.
It is.
And that's where I was really happy to be going to this place. I actually bought a growler. One of my first I have other growlers that have just been given to me. But this is the first one that I actually bought to have just filled there. The other one's like, oh, sweet, I'm going to go get this filled there. Or my brother has a bunch of them at different breweries because they don't like you bringing in growlers from different places. So while drinking, we taste tested many, many different concoctions. And we settled on the one that I wanted, which is titled now the Christina. It is three different meads that she kind of combined. It was the Exerciser, which is more of a cinnamon apple type mead. Also, it has the John Lemon, which is obviously a lemon-y type flavored mead, as well as the Blue Madonna, which is a blueberry type.
Right.
And she just was talking about how, like, we tried them each individually, and obviously they taste kind of like what their namesake says, except for when she's also telling us, you know, write down, because you get free six tastings.
Okay.
And then you order whatever. And so we're writing down, and Buddy's dad goes, all right, so the BM was good, and she had a BM. So the whole weekend, he's just talking about how good the BMs are. And some of our friends later on at the beer fest, cause we did this night before, and no one else was with us, like, the fuck is he talking about? It's got to be something. Well, then obviously she combined these, in which it made it even a more unique. You can still really taste the cinnamon apple.
Well, and then it's got, so the, this is what we're drinking right now. This is Christina. The lemon, I was assuming is the John. Definite aftertaste. Not right up front, but in the back end.
Yes.
For sure. Look at me. I sound all like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like you're a connoisseur.
I know. I don't. But you can. It's kind of like when you suck on a lemon drop and you have that, like, that aftertaste of the lemon drop candy.
So good. And I got a big growler, so I have 64 ounces to continue through the week.
Nope, we're going to drink all of it today.
Well, that might actually happen. But one of the hilarious things when I was like, all right, I'm going to get this, and then I end up spending, like, over $60 there because I'm like, this is good. I love meat. I'm going to get this. And like I said, they're potent, but they also always come in, like, the 16.9-ounce bottles.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more that you get for your buck, too. But the biggest thing was... The one waitress who mixed them together, her name obviously was Christina, she knew what we were doing. So when they had a couple other new people come on in, I was like, well, she's got me because I knew she knew what she was going to be mixing.
Right.
So I go down there. Well, then Buddy's dad comes. He already had his howler up there to get filled. And one of the girls goes, you know, what do you want? And he goes, or what do you want to fill in this? Christina. And they're like... Looking at him like, what? She starts cracking up laughing. She goes, I'll take care of them. They know it. Because none of them have tasted this girl's concoction.
Right.
She then did it. And so then the other waitresses are like, damn, that's really good. What do you call it? Well, because I made it, that's what I'm going to name it now.
They want a little bit of Christina.
Yeah, so the whole weekend, then he was offering from his howler, everyone, and, do you want a little Christina in you? Would you like to try Christina?
I think that's better than offering people a BM.
Yeah. Although I also bought a BM as well in case it gives some people later so they can have. So that was kind of drunkenness this week. But seriously, if there's any meaderies out there that people really think I should check out, I would love to go. I mean, there's breweries all around
Wish I could remember the name of it because I drive by it on the highway all the time. But there is a meadery in Grand Rapids.
Yep, like well, in Wyoming. One of my friends were telling me that, and I plan on checking that out now that I know about it. Also went to Storm Cloud Brewing up there. We're up in Frankfurt, and that also was amazing. Good live band, and there they had the maps of Michigan, because showing where all the breweries are, and you just see all these dots. Grand Rapids area, Detroit obviously has some too, but yeah, Grand Rapids just like covered with these little mugs. Showing how much, and then you kind of like see all these expanses of nothingness.
Oh,
sad. Kind of get sad for those people.
You
like,
feel bad for them.
They still can go to the liquor store and get some booze, but they're missing
out. It's not the same thing.
Yeah,
getting beer from a brewery, it always tastes better, and it's fucking cheaper.
Yeah,
I went to Bell's on Friday. Which I don't make it out to Bell's too often because it's in Kalamazoo and you go and you drink and then you don't want to drive back to Grand Rapids. But it is fucking cheap as hell to drink at Bell's.
Yeah, well, it's cheap to drink at almost any of the breweries. That's where you all of a sudden realize, I'll have just one more.
Yeah.
Five more later.
Yeah.
It's still cheap. It's still more expensive than what you planned on, but you are wrecked.
Yes, and then it's Uber time.
Yep. So, awesome. Linz, let's get into some comic book stuff.
Yes, it's been a call. I felt really behind in my comic book reading.
Why is that?
I went to Disney World. We had the con before that. It's just been busy. So I haven't been to the comic book store in weeks. But the one book that I made sure I read was the new Tank Girl. Because I love Tank Girl. It is, to me, it epitomizes indie comics. It's right up there with Judge Dredd. Tank Girl.
I will... totally be honest and say all of Tank Girl I know
is the movie
is from movie.
Yeah. So I'm gonna cause some controversy here for people who love Tank Girl, so the one other person that listens to this podcast that probably also likes Tank Girl, but the movie, not a lot like the comics, but I fucking love that movie a lot. It's great, but it's not it doesn't,
and I understand that too.
Yeah.
But there are the giant rabbit-looking
Yeah, they're kangaroos. Creatures.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they are kangaroos.
Yep, they're kangaroos. They're in Australia. So Tank Girl is just, I mean, her personality, she's gritty, she's an outlaw, she's, like, very punk rock, and I'm into lots of things. I like punk rock music. I like my comics independent. I like my music punk. That's just the way I am. So I've been a fan of Tank Girl for probably not as long as I should have been, but I'm going to chalk that up to growing up in Northern Michigan and not having accessibility to anything, let alone independent comic books. So the original writer is still on it, and his name is Alan Martin. Originally, the artist for this comic book was Jamie Hewlett, who's not on it anymore. He didn't do this comic book. But a little fact you may not know, Jamie Hewlett helped form the Gorillaz. Did you ever listen to...
The Gorillaz?
Yeah, the band. The Gorillaz.
Are they the adults or the parents of the Monkees?
You don't remember the Gorillaz?
I do not.
No, that you
oh,
know...
Gorillaz.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, fuck yeah. I love...
Yeah.
I don't know why I was like...
Blanking?
What?
Were you blanking on that?
Well, no. I was just actually... I don't know why visualizing... Because we already talked about like... Me being dumb, rabbit, like long-haired kangaroos, and then thinking about actual
gorillas
and like a band that dresses up as gorillas. Because then I started actually picturing, you know, the gorilla at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, okay.
I was actually picturing then him on a piano with some other gorillas behind him.
All right.
God, I feel really dumb now because
it's okay.
I need to feel good.
Have some more of your mead. And you'll feel way better.
All right.
So last year, the year before, they came out with a new Tank Girl, 21st Century Tank Girl, which I also read and was amazing, but it was a bunch of short stories done by different artists. This one is a new, probably limited.
What pretty much the premise of the whole book is a girl with a tank.
Yeah. She does what she wants. That's really what it is. She has a tank. She does what she wants. She's married to a kangaroo. That's her husband. Booga is his name. And her friends...
No, but why? Like, what... What...
Like, why is she married to a kangaroo?
Because, I mean, they're sentient kangaroos.
They are, yeah. I think, given...
It's like Mad Max, like, apocalypse, like, world, right?
Yes and no. There are parts of the world that they live in that are normal, civilized society, but where they live in, like, the outback of Australia is definitely, like, makes it feel post-apocalyptic. And the movie, for sure, it was a post-apocalyptic type society.
I think Lori Petty nailed it, though, too.
She did.
The look, at least.
She did. And the cover of this, actually, the store option cover... If you look at it, it actually looks like Lori Petty.
Oh, yeah.
In it, yeah. So, I mean, the guys who created Tank Girl weren't super happy with the movie, but I think that they both agreed that Lori Petty did a pretty good job. Naomi Watts was in that movie, too, which is really weird to think about. She was a Jet Girl.
Do you know who else was in there? Ice-T.
Yes, he was Booga.
Oh, is that why you asked me for some Ice-T? I didn't even catch your fucking joke.
So this is the title of this. What I'm assuming is probably a limited run. It's not going to be an ongoing series. Is Tank Girl? Two girls, one tank.
Ooh,
I know it sounds sexy, doesn't it?
Be another girl.
Well, so the short story, without giving too much away, is this art collector, art dealer, somehow comes in to own Tank Girl's tank. Like, it gets, well, essentially Booga lost it in a poker game. He bet the tank, and he lost it. And so it ends up at this art dealer's showroom. And then it switches to Tank Girl, trying to figure out where her tank went. And, of course, her husband, the kangaroo, lies to her and says that it was stolen. So she's on a mission to get a new tank. But the other half of the story, the second girl with the tank, is this art dealer who, as soon as she sees this tank, loses her fucking mind and decides that she wants to be Tank Girl. So they show her shaving her head, so she has, like, that crazy weird mohawk that Tank Girl has. And, like, they even show, like, blood coming off of her head because she's just using a normal razor to, like, shave her head down. And she goes on this spree with the tank. So we got Tank Girl, who's on a rampage to rob some money trucks so that she can buy a new tank, and this woman...
Why should she steal a new tank? Like, Did she inherit the first tank from her parents? Like, where did that tank come
from?
No,
I think that's a good question, and I don't actually know that one. I don't know the answer to that one. In the movie, she takes the tank from the military, and that might be how the origin of Tank Girl is. And
never questioned the existence of the tank?
No, I never.
The mighty tank?
She's Tank Girl. Of course she has a tank. I mean, it's in her name, right? So, at the end of this book, the art dealer and Tank Girl end up running into each other. Tank Girl sees that this woman has her tank and looks exactly fucking like her. So it's going to be interesting to see how they interact. Because Tank Girl's pretty accepting when it comes to weirdos. So she might just be like, hey, welcome to the club. Come rob some banks with us. Or she might kick her ass. It could go either way. But lots of nudity, as always, in Tank Girl.
Kevin would really love this book.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Lots of boobs, kangaroos in underwear, which I didn't know kangaroos wore underwear, but they do. Just in case anybody wanted to know.
Well, don't you know they're underoos for kangaroos?
So anybody, I mean, if you've never read Tank Girl before, the nice thing about Tank Girl is the basics of the story continue from one book to the other, but you don't have to read any other Tank Girl stories. They're very, like, self-inclusive.
Like, they kind of say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I am a girl.
Yeah,
and I own
a tank. Yeah,
this is my husband.
He's a kangaroo. Yeah, yep. So
and then the many forces of, yeah.
Yeah, so you could hop right on. That's always been, and it came from their origins of being published in like a zine in England. So they had to make them short but sweet stories. They couldn't make them like one huge long story that you had to pick up every week because not everybody read the same zine every week.
Kind of like Judge Dredd.
Yeah, exactly. Similar concept. Different zine, I think, that they were in. I can't remember the name of the one that Judge Dredd was in.
But I like that you're trying to go hipster there with zine.
No, that's what they were called.
They're called zines,
yeah,
not
zines.
Magazines?
Yeah, zines. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I only know that because I'm slightly older than you. but the art in this is done by Brett Parson, and it's amazing how you can take something like kangaroo in underwear and just make it look so cute and pretty. And he does.
Is that what you're going to say, or are you going to say sexy?
No, he's not sexy in any by any stretch of the imagination. Never once have I read a Tank Girl comic book and been like, I think I could hook up with Booga. Nope. Maybe one of the girls, but not the kangaroo.
You just imagined having the tank.
Yes. She lives in the tank. It's her home. How awesome would that be? You just roll around Grand Rapids in a fucking tank?
I really can't see rolling around true cities. I mean, the Outback, yes.
Yes, okay.
But even then, I know, I've read a couple. It seems like that thing has a lot of, like, super conductive, like, it goes fast as, like, a car.
Yeah, it's
tanks
pretty
don't
souped
really
up.
Do that.
No.
Like, tanks can sometimes get stuck. I mean, it's a magical tank.
It is. It's a pretty souped up tank.
So. One quick question for you.
Sure.
So do all kangaroos have pouches?
I don't know.
You
yes.
don't know? How do you not know this? Do you know from the book?
I don't believe that he has a pouch.
Well, good, because that would be anatomically wrong.
Because he's a male.
Yes.
Yes.
Males shouldn't have them. But I was just wondering.
He has abs.
I mean, there's a lot of times where writer like, for the layman people, you kind of are already saying there's a girl with a tank married to a kangaroo. That just, you know, you disbelief. So, like, why not have all kangaroos have pouches?
Right.
But it'd be cool to have, like, a secret gun down there. Like, that's his, like, gun
where he
pouch.
Kept, like, yes.
But women kangaroos are the only ones that should have that.
Yes. No, he doesn't have pouches.
The more you know.
So, everyone pick it up. Check it out. Tank Girl for life.
All right. I'm getting to some controversial, like,
you are.
Water. Hail Hydra.
The views of Tony are not the views of Drunk on Comics.
Yes. Before we get in, I'm mainly going to review this comic book because I made sure I got it because of the controversy. I probably wouldn't have, and it goes without saying that there are two characters that I kind of don't like as much. One that talk about all the time, Superman. I don't like the perfect child mold of a superhero. I like there to be a Batman type a secondary side, or like Wolverine. Like,
right. You like him to be a little dirty.
Yeah. Or yeah. More human.
Yeah.
There's never a very, unless you are a Boy Scout. And yes, I do know people that are really, but those people, superhero wise, I mean, there aren't real superheroes anyways, so I can understand that. But I just don't like the goody two shoes person. Right. And that's where, when it comes to the comic book world, Captain America kind of always just like, I've read him in much Avengers. I've never truly picked up a huge run of Captain America. I have read some Captain America books. I right. know about him and his whole story and his struggles with, you know, getting in, you know, what is it, the old people's card? The
AARP?
Yeah, AARP card. They don't believe him. Except for recently, he's then become old man as well.
Old Cap.
And I was also kind of like, wait, new Cap? I haven't even read, or young Cap, I should say, because right. we still have Falcon being
yeah.
Captain America
that's
as
when,
well.
That's when Falcon took over, is when he turned old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was still Steve Rogers, yeah. Man at Large, head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I would even say, too, Captain America, Iron Man is my boy. I love Iron Man, the suits of armors, him being a tragic, you know, character and everything. But when it came to the first Civil War, that's when I was like, oh, shit, man, I'm on Captain America's side. Steve is...
Right.
And even the movies, Chris Evans, I, for as much of a Boy Scout he is, I love that they kind of tease him a bit of that. He knows it. But movie universe, I really love that Captain America. They've done a great job. And even then, with the new movie Civil War, I was on Captain America's right. side still. Although, in the comic books, I was totally against Iron Man. I was very more so like, man, they really put it in a...
It was way more believable.
It could go
movie.
Either way. Yeah. And just the whole point, you know, this yeah. is for my mom, though. Like,
right.
holy shit, man. I got to give this one to Iron Man. He yeah. deserves to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So I picked up Captain America, Steve Rogers, number one, which we will get into the controversy later.
Right.
But just to talk about this book as a whole, it was a good book. And that's the part where I feel that some of the criticism coming towards it, which is true. I mean, it should be spit about like how terrible of an idea it is, was still a great book. So I'm going to actually want to, like, spoiler, want to continue reading this to see where it goes. But... written by Nick Spencer, who he does good stuff too. So I kind of believe in him, and I don't know where this originated from, just his idea, or if it's one of those Marvel, you know, comes together. Hey, we got to shake things up again instead of making a new Captain America and Thor and you know, drunk right. Iron Man again. artist Jesus Saez, and
do you
lettering.
Think it's really Jesus, or do you think he probably goes by Jesus?
It probably goes by Jesus, but...
You're going to go with Jesus?
Yes, because his art is
God-like.
Miraculous.
Yeah, okay.
And artist Joe Carmagna, or no, lettering Joe Carmagna, who he does a lot of lettering anyways.
Yeah, he does.
He gets around a lot. This whole story, like, looking at, okay, you really want to know the beginnings. Where did this all come about? And it's going to be in those flashbacks of, at what point did Captain America, or Steve Rogers... become this Hydra agent, because that is controversial.
Spoiler.
Well, it's not even a spoiler. If no one has heard about
that's
this
true.
Yet,
that's
I mean,
true.
This is the reason why other people are probably picking up this book that they
yes.
normally wouldn't have.
Yes, that's true.
Because they've heard that sleeper agent, you know, and it's been going on for forever. What the fuck? So
forever.
That's my whole reason to picking this up and trying to criticize of where is this coming from? Because this comes out of left field, and it's one of those things of you can't just change a character unless there was something that has never been seen or known or done. And I do think, not getting enough of it, you get a little sense of, whoa, I can kind of see this plausibly happening.
Okay.
I mean, the myth isn't busted yet, but at the same point, strange. And so it opens up with, you know, a what, like a flashback, you know, 1926, you know, New York. And you kind of get introduced to this lady who helps out Steve's mom after getting kind of beaten up by his father, who, that's the one part in the comics that I don't necessarily remember about the parents so much. I mean,
I don't think they ever really got into that.
They didn't really focus a lot, but he's talked about his mother, and I don't really remember father, and this is where it kind of goes down to, it's one of those things of, I haven't read all Captain America to know. I know enough to know where he is, what he stands for, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the American way, not the Hydra way. But you kind of get this, you know, you get to meet this, this lady, Sinclair, Alyssa Sinclair, who is, you already kind of like, she's badass. She beat up the father, you know, helped the mom. And I already got the sense, okay, this is where the bad guy's coming in. This is where this person is probably going to be the Hydra person that introduced them to Hydra. But we also don't know Hydra yet because this is also younger Steve. The war's not necessarily going on yet.
Red Skull's not a thing yet.
Yeah. You know, Hitler isn't power and all that good stuff. So you then kind of get to where Captain America is Captain America now, young. And that was one of those things, too. Thank goodness when comic books have that little blurb on, like, almost the title page of what's going on, because I didn't pick up Pleasant Hill. It kind of sounded a little...
That was the one with the outrageously long title, right? The standoff one?
Yeah, and that's like the prelude to Civil War, which even then I'm still confused of what they're fighting. Well, I do know the precog and all this, but knowing then, it was actually from that Steve Rogers getting his youth back from the Cosmic Cube is one of those MacGuffin type, okay, I can see this happening because Cosmic Cube can do anything. But that there's a Cosmic Cube already, it all comes about loving Secret Wars 2. And I thought that was a beautifully put together book to where you can kind of depower some of these people from how epic levels they get. Like, I was talking to some friends up north when I was talking about possibly recording about, and it was actually fun because I'm like, yeah, I'm using my knowledge database to, like, they're asking me questions. I'm not just being nerdy. Aww. They're kind of like, and talking about Wolverine and
how. You felt like an expert.
Yes. Well, like, even when Wolverine got so much to where he can, like, reheal from, like, a single blood cell that was a part of a run. Yeah. But then you have to kind of depower him. And then when you find out why, because always thinks of Jean, or then always, you know, he fought the Japanese god of death, and that's how he can always, he has to battle him every time. Those were some good stories time, but you kind of get up to the epic level of, you make him unkillable, that he can always come back, and even though it takes longer and he has to fight off things, you kind of take away from him ever fighting lower-tiered people.
Right.
And the Marvel's reset of everything is Secret Wars, thinking then that they already introduced last year Old Man Steve Rogers, he'd come back young. That they didn't, I'm actually happy with them making a stand on not changing things right away.
Right.
Let things play out where they're going, and some of those titles are still going strong because it's different. It's not the same old story. So to find out that this is all from the Rubik's Cube is kind of, you know, something good. That being said and done, and that was a long-winded thing of finding out young Steve Rogers, I love the most, this was another good part that I loved about this book, is Rick Jones is in it.
Oh, really?
Yes. He is now the Whisperer.
What?
Which, last that I didn't read a lot of when the Hulk series, when Hulk turned into Doc Green, and he was going through and de-gamma-raying his gamma family. When I read the Hulks, and that
sometimes when you say, like, not you, but people in general, sometimes when you talk about comic book storylines out loud and you say these things out loud, I hear them and I hear myself saying them and I'm like, this is completely ridiculous. And you just said when he was depowering all his gamma family, I'm like, this is stupid.
Well, did you not ever... like?
No, I never read it.
But you knew enough to know about what happened with the Hulks and Hulk and the Red She-Hulk, the Red Hulk, and all those.
It's just funny to hear it.
Very good run. Very good. And last, you know, I knew of Rick was being A-bomb.
Right.
And I guess from that, as I said, Hulk then, his one of his alter egos, which is one of those other things I loved about Hulk, making more than just the big green monster or gray monster, or you can change them other colors and different personas of them, makes for a myriad of many different...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, used it correctly. Different storylines that you can do with one character that is always just smash, smash, Hulk smash. So to have him go through to power, it makes me kind of want to go back and read some of those Hulks, though, to be like, why didn't you cure yourself? You have this, this gene that can de-gamma these people. But from that, it kind of warped with Rick's mind, so now he's the Whisperer. He's kind of more hacker intelligence.
Right.
And he was hacking some things with the Pleasant Hill, finding out about the Rubik's Cube. Cap thought he was right, so he's kind of probation slash working for S.H.I.E.L.D. So finding that within the comic was, and then having to do a little research on Rick to be like, why is he showing up in the events of these fucking huge-ass things again?
Yeah, because you don't hear about him too often.
Well, not anymore. I mean, back in the day, though, you know, he was part of the original Guardians of the Galaxy. He was Captain Marvel when he was always in the Negative Zone, would trade places with him when the Negabands were switched.
I did not know that.
Also the reason why the Hulk became the Hulk.
Right.
Rick Jones has been in the middle of everything. Telling all these things actually makes a point, too, because he was in the middle of, like, the Skull Kree War as well. He's been kind of, like, was the pinnacle person that the everyman could feel, like, when you're reading, like, I wish I was him, because he's friends with all of them. And although he's not a true superhero, he gets to hang out with them. He's the reason why the Hulk is. So that when he became A-Bomb, you know, the Abomination type creature, that was his first foray in actually being true superpowered person. And although we're supposed to be talking about Captain America...
We've been on a Hulk tangent for 5 minutes.
No, but, like, it's great to see him then being part of this team, because then you're kind of like... He's almost like the Watcher. Like, whenever the Watcher shows up, you're like, shit's getting real.
Yeah.
But when you see Rick there, you're like, shit's gonna get...
Heavy.
Fucked up. Yeah. It's gonna get heavy. It's gonna be this and that. And throughout this whole... This first part of this story, you also get a... these random backgrounds of this person who, the way that he was raised, the way he grew up, way different than what you know of Captain America. And you're kind of wondering why they show in this story. Well, it's to flesh out the story of why this person is so about Hydra. And you see this person getting recruited and grew up bad or did some different things, and how Hydra can kind of get anyone and anyone's, you know, child to eventually come on board. Red Skull showing up here, also saying some things that won't get political, but really seems to foray in the whole immigration / legal immigrant status. And him speaking in America about this, about even your great nation, this and that, I'm like, whoa, Marvel's kind of throwing down some political stuff that I don't even want to touch and talk about.
Right,
but also makes it a little bit relevant for the here and the now.
Yeah.
And I actually do appreciate that, because regardless of your thoughts on that, it makes it less... He even brought up, you know, back in the day, you know, we had this that we... Or we always strive for our nation. And that's drawing it back to the Nazism. But I love that they're kind of going away from always having to go back to Nazis. Like... The war is over, man. It ended years ago.
Yeah.
We don't need to always pretend that we're doing the Nazi way. But to see him kind of recruit people in a different light and to say, you know, your government should be protecting your rights and who's going to help me. This is what Hydra's about. Totally different spin. And I can see that's new relevance for Hydra.
And it makes it seem relevant for what's going on today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that whole couple pages was all to bring about why he's going to be, you know, this person who blows up this thing. How easy it is to get indoctrinated. Just go to a couple speeches, which is ultimately what you find out, but you don't find out how much that this is how Captain America became this Hydra agent. There's a lot of other good stuff in here besides Rick talking to Jack Flag and Free Spirit, who are, when it looks to the Marvel families, there's Wolverine has a bunch of different clawed Sabretooth, like, Wolverine people that are all part of one group. Iron Man's got War Machine, you know, he's got some other people that have wore the suits.
Just similar.
They're all the similar kind of, like, grouping. Captain America kind of has his fanboys. I think there's, Liberty is one of them. I mean...
You got Captain Britain.
No, Captain Britain's actually totally different. That's not a...
No?
No, that's nothing about Captain.
No.
I'm even kind of upset that you brought that up.
I feel like they're similar.
No, they're not similar at all. Captain Britain, total different person. He's a mutant.
You should see Tony's face right now. He also takes the Nexus.
He's so angry of reality. Nothing to do with Captain America. But there are these other people that are more in line of America Freedom type name people. And just see them showing up. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, Captain America's posse. When we get to see that who's telling them to come in because Cap didn't want them around to possibly get hurt. And I just love to see, you know, Jack Flag talking about, well, Captain told us to come in. And Sharon Carter's like, no, I told you to come in. He's like, nope, I'm going to believe Captain did because this is going to be a story I'm going to tell my grandkids.
Oh.
Captain America calls. One of those things is like, I like this fucker.
Yeah.
Like, he's really getting into the whole why I'm here. Rick Jones sharing stories of all the things that I was telling you about that whole tangent with him and be like, wow, you're kind of in the middle of everything. And that all of this sets up to the big finale where Cap is going after Baron Zemo. There is so much shit going on in this book that even saying as much as I am saying doesn't even give away the nuances of this book. The way the pages are laid out, from the explosions to just the nice poignant, like him and Sharon sitting on a bench, you know, a swing set, and then when it zooms out, you see that it's on the helicarrier end, like that they weren't just in some field somewhere,
right,
that they're still working always. It's one of those things where the art, as we always say, tells a story, but the writing in this is so strong that you're really feeling. There's some other flashbacks of, you know, the person talking to Cap's mom or Steve Rogers' mom and saying, hey, you know, we should hang out more often or maybe do this or that. And you finally get to the end where they go on another mission. And Jack goes and, you know, doesn't listen to Captain America's orders when Captain jumped on Zemo's ship. And he was totally, you know, going to help Cap. And he did. He saved Cap. Although then Cap, and this is like besides the Hail Hydra part, threw him out of the fucking plane because he saw, because Cap was like, you can't be part of this. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where Jack was like, you know, Rick shouldn't be the only one with these stories of heroism. I want to do one of these things too. I can totally believe that. He wanted to be the Rick. He wanted to be part of this whole story. And unfortunately, his story ended. And then kind of the book ended as well.
Right.
And you get the last flashback of the girl finally saying, hey, you know, maybe you should take your son to these meetings. You know, it's like a book club. But you bring kids in that too. So you know there's going to be some sort of brainwashing.
Yeah.
Young stuff that goes on and all this happening before he becomes, you know, the super soldier that he is. Now, how far in advance that they would have known that there's a super soldier formula? Probably not. Like, I don't want to
get... So how old was Steve in these flashbacks?
He looked about maybe 10.
Like, okay, so this is, like, way before he was even, like...
Military-wise, yeah. Like,
had a hard-on to be in the military.
Yeah. I mean, this is still young okay. Steve. And so that's even more brainwashing and doctrine
right.
when you're kids. Like, I know Black Widow, the stories with her of how she got indoctrinated, the Russian side.
She was young, real young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And covert operative. Like, I'm also thinking this is where that's going to happen. We haven't seen it yet. We've just seen that this is the prelude to it happening. With all that said and done, I thought the writing was great. I think him being even Hail Hydra was great. Him coming back and being Captain America now from being old man Steve Rogers was great. What I don't think was great, holy shit, dude, you just killed someone. Someone who idolized you. That, I feel more pissed off than the rest of the internets. But let's get to the internets.
Yes, let's talk about the internet reaction to this. So, okay, one question real quick. Do you think that the people who are responding to this on the internet are responding to it because they read it or because they heard what happens at the end of it?
100% people are responding. Well, both.
Okay.
I would say 80% haven't even read it. The other 20% that are hating on it are still like, that's not Cap. But it's also, those are the same people that were when Spider-Man was becoming Superior Spider or was being killed off were like, fuck this, I'm never going to read Spider-Man again. I can't believe you killed him, this and that. And now we all know that Spider-Man right. was dead during the whole time. He was a ghost.
I thought you lost
ghost
that bet.
Peter Parker. Fuck that. No. Derek's not here anymore to know that he was ghost Peter Parker.
Okay.
But, that aside, the same people. People get pissed off so easily. Or they're like, no, it can't happen. But deaths are kind of like one of those things that in comic book world that people are like, eh.
Yeah.
I mean, or well, that was a death that was like, eh. But then Professor X, people were like, eh. And I think it's the way that it's told right. and the story that it is, or the leaks, or this and that. But they don't let the stories resolve that. Comic book deaths are a lot different than real
right.
deaths.
Right.
I mean, Captain America died before.
Well, yeah, he died during Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there Air was quotes. A little bit of flack from that, but also the internet, less trollish, less yes. whatever. Even then, to totally take a person and flip it 180, that's like hard to grasp.
Right.
And for him to be that Boy Scout person, it'd be like as if Superman all of a sudden secretly has been bidden his time to be, you know, the Supreme Lord of Earth.
Right.
You just don't see that happening. So to say that, there's a lot of people that are just pissed that...
The reaction on the internet is definitely negative,
mm-hmm.
right? Everyone views Captain America as America's hero. He's always been the one person who's on your side in the comic books, right? However, I feel like the people that get upset about this kind of stuff... For the exact same reasons that you were talking about Spider-Man. It's like, okay, this is a comic book. You know things are going to flesh out in a completely different way.
Yeah, they're not going to keep this a status quo. Because he's a moneymaker.
Yeah.
Like, how would you ever keep that the same thing? The story will
Let
be great.
Let the story play out.
But then again, too, I like when they finally take chances and make something. This one is one of those hard to see lasting forever.
Right.
Or maybe it does become the truth that he was, and then he realizes everything I have stood for, so they make it, but like I also see him being a super, you know, duper secret double probation type person.
Right. Okay. I see you pulling a secondary movie references into
but,
this.
But like I said, though, it's one of those things, though, too, it's such a fundamental part of his story. It's like Spider-Man saying, you know, fuck responsibility.
Right.
You know, Daredevil saying, like, I can see the whole time. Like, there's a meme going around with all those things.
All the different ones. Like, was it Batman? I shot my parents.
Yeah, I shot my own parents. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, those are the type of things you can't change. You can change them in similar ways or certain ways, but some things are just fundamentally
right.
who they are as a character.
Well, and I think it takes a lot anymore for us to be... I think we've gotten to the point where we're like, okay, yeah, somebody died. Like, that's going to stick. I think it takes a lot for us as comic book readers to be upset about things and to really have a response to things. And by taking somebody like Captain America and making them the heel, essentially, to use a wrestling term, they switched him sides. And if you're a fan of wrestling, you know that never sticks either.
I love that you just were able to use a wrestling term like that. I didn't know if you knew wrestling at all, but that
Tony
is
Tony just got a little
sweet.
Hard. But it doesn't stick. I think it's just a way for us to get involved in the comic book again. It is a very risky move to make because you can turn a lot of readers off by doing this, I think. But I think you're also going to draw a lot of people in because they're going to want to see where it goes. And look at what they're getting on the internet. When's the last time that, besides the movie, when's the last time people were talking about Captain America
mm-hmm.
in this extent?
Well,
know?
It's a lot. I think, though, too, though, that hit a nerve because America.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't mess with America. Anything else you can do, America.
Right.
Like, I think that's where, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with patriotism, but I think that there's a lot of people, and this goes into the whole... You kick in a hornet's nest, and I don't even want to jump on that bandwagon of even saying some thoughts of where that's blind obedience, that when you don't see the whole picture, this is a comic book that only comes out in certain parts. you don't know the whole storyline. Right. There's probably a reason why, you know, that they thought this is a good idea. If they thought it's to piss off half of American readers because we know how patriotic they are, I'm pretty sure Marvel was not going to the bank thinking this is what we're going to be, you know, basing our forecast on this book. No. But it will get more people to probably read this first one to be what, like, it got me to pick up a Captain America now. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get me to pick up another one.
Oh, you're going to want to see where it goes.
They did planned on doing. And even with all the haters out there, it's probably going to be okay.
I mean, they have a plan. You can't, in my heart, and maybe this is just my gullible fangirl heart, but in my heart, you can't take a character like Captain America, who's been an icon for so many years, and all of a sudden just make him a villain, and that's just the way he is for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
If this is really, I think, just to get a reaction, to build a story, and then it's going to take a turn, and that's the way comic books always work since the beginning of time. So we just need to, you just need to fucking let it play out.
Change can be good.
And it'll be okay.
Except
nerds,
for,
it'll be okay.
Except for, though, I'm going to be a hypocritical right now.
Uh-oh.
Except for when it's Ghostbusters. it's not even Ghostbusters. And actually the whole movie, I'm not upset about. It's Hollywood in general, comic books in general, too, listen. It's the term reboot.
Yes.
That's what I have a problem with. If you can continue on stories, that's why DC lost a lot of people. They totally rebooted. When they did all those other crises, it wasn't negate the past. It was a little bit different, but it kind of...
They're like retconning everything.
Retcon stuff.
Retconning is way easier than rebooting.
Obviously, that's what they're doing with Captain America now. With the new movie of Ghostbusters, they are rebooting it. They are pretending that whole other movie didn't exist.
Right.
And that's the problem that a lot of fans had. If they would just... And if they have it in there, 100% I'll say, okay, I'll see this movie. But that they created the proton packs, that they did this. Like, no one knows that the Ghostbusters existed before. But guess what? They also did that in the second movie as well. Second movie is almost like the first movie.
Right.
And yet people also adore the second movie as well. But that's not even the first Ghostbusters.
No.
There's the 1975 Ghostbusters. It starred two of the people from the 60s sitcom F Troop, Forrest Tucker and Larry Storch. And this isn't even the one that I knew. I knew about the cartoon version of this Ghostbusters growing up.
I didn't know about either of these, the TV series or the cartoon. So you posted the picture from the TV series. And I was like, this looks fucking ridiculous.
It is a bit ridiculous, but but the premise of it, it's a giant talking gorilla.
Yes.
Who also...
God, the 70s. It must have been great to live during then.
Yes. Giant talking gorilla who goes with his two human friends, and the gorilla is kind of more or less the Scooby of the gang, where they go busting ghosts. I didn't even know that there was this live version. What I knew growing up being really, like, not understanding... Back in the day when you used to have to watch... You didn't have guide programs on your TVs. When you used to have to, for the young listeners there, you had to go to this one channel, usually this Channel 9, and you could just watch all the channels go through.
I had a TV guide in my house.
When you were growing up?
Yeah, we had TV guides.
The book.
The book.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, the actual book had to look up each day, and it had the listing of what was going to show on each channel.
You usually knew what was going to be on anyway, for the most part, when it came to cartoons. They were on point. We had those schedules memorized.
But
you'd be kind of sitting there for Saturday morning cartoons, instead of flipping through the five channels, you'd go to this, and you could see, and then all of a sudden you'd be like, Ghostbusters, cool. And you turn it, and you'd be like, what is this?
And what it was,
it was the Filmation. I don't know. Whatever that.
I think it's Filmation.
Yes. which took this concept of the show to make a cartoon of that. Now, that also didn't happen until after the 1984 Ghostbusters happened as well, which was about a group of people, you know, investigating paranormal activity. So even the original Ghostbusters wasn't original.
Right.
But it wasn't... But even concepts are kind of like superhero with a cape.
Yeah.
You're going to take something different. It was way different from this show.
Right. And the only similarity really was that they we're looking for ghosts, mm-hmm. right? And their names, which then the movie had to actually license the name from the TV show.
Well, from Ghost, yeah. Yeah, for Ghostbusters. Yeah. And that's about the only similarities they really had besides Bustin' Ghosts and the name. But then Filmations, they decided to make a cartoon version after the Ghostbusters movie based on the original TV show.
Which looks very Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, very much so. And that's what I remember watching, as well as Ghostbusters, the cartoon based off of the movie, which then looking through the channel, I then realized there was two Ghostbusters and trying to, in my mind, make that work because of the name, I just couldn't. Which is why the Ghostbusters based off of the Ghostbusters we love and know with Dan Aykroyd
was the
and Bill
real
Murray,
Ghostbusters.
Was called the real Ghostbusters yeah. to, you know, the copyrights and all that. And that's where all that shit is just dumb. Hate copyright stuff. But, yeah. So, we're going back to all this because of the new Ghostbusters yes. film.
So, really what you're saying is you need to get your panties out of a bunch because people reboot shit all the time?
But it's not... But that wasn't... No, that's what I'm saying. It's not panties
it's
out
not
of a bunch.
It's not a reboot, yeah.
This wasn't okay. even a reboot. This was an entirely different premise. Right. And if they would have done that... But no, they are playing off of... They have Slimer in the movie.
They like, do. And they have Thor. Thor's in the movie.
Oh, I was going to say, wait, what? But I do... Chris Hemsworth is on there.
Who, really, honestly, I'm just really excited to see Chris Hemsworth.
So, my point being is they shouldn't call it a reboot. They should still acknowledge the other one.
I agree. And I feel like a lot of people... So, feminists out there are probably listening to your opinion and going, he just hates women, and he doesn't want women Ghostbusters. And I know that's not true. Because you love women.
Yeah. Oh, I love women. All
right. And really, it's like, you just want it to be a continuation of the story. Like, maybe they pass down the duty
yeah.
to these women.
Yeah, let's see the whole overall story with right. all of them together. Not a, this was an enclosed different universe, and this is a different right. closed universe, like in comics. I will wait to see the movie if it also has the backstory of where they came from. Right. Because if they're going to totally flip it on their heads of inverse everyone, which is what they do now in Hollywood all the time, at least acknowledge the other one happened.
Right.
Unless it sucked. If the movie sucked...
Then it can be completely separate.
Yeah, because no one watched the first one anyways, so no one fucking cares.
Right.
Like, the new Judge Dredd, it didn't knock on the Sylvester Stallone no. one. It just was its own movie.
And it was better.
Yeah.
So much better.
Reboots
Which doesn't happen a lot, but it was way better.
There are other reboots where I'm like, why did you need to do that? A good one, which I loved, was The Terminator. But it didn't shit on the other ones. It did time travel as a mechanism, and it was a reboot
in a way.
Terminator
is an easier way to do that,
but,
though.
Yeah. But it's also like if they took Back to the Future and decided, hey, let's redo the original movie with a whole different cast and characters, but make it a chick that drove and a chick, you know,
I heard that once upon a time they were thinking about rebooting Back to the Future with Justin Bieber.
Why?
I don't know. Clearly it didn't
come.
And
Doc goes back to kill him.
Come to fruition. Thank fucking God. But, yeah.
He leaves him in the past of when did Justin come about? Oh. It would be a future movie
yeah.
of, like, them in the future, and he brought him back to, like, 2008 and left him here in the world. Thanks, Doc.
Yeah, right.
You're the reason why we have him. Well, at least the future doesn't have him now, Marty. Like...
Oh, okay. So, there was your movie rage. So, I'm going to talk about my movie rage and, actually, my lack of movie rage. Okay. So, I saw the new X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse.
I love... How not good
I know.
That segue was.
I know. Just go with it here. Just go with the flow. I saw X-Men Apocalypse is really what I'm building up to. And I fucking hated most of the X-Men movies. The first one was okay. First X-Men movie back in the, early 2000s?
Mm-hmm.
Second one, all right. Third one, fucking disgusting movie. First Class, I hated.
What?
I hated First Class.
I actually enjoyed that because it was I looked at it as a different universe.
Yes. I don't know why. I hated it. I could not get behind it. The Wolverine movies, first one, Did not like. Second one, okay. Better than the first one. Days of Future Past, I was oddly all right with. Mainly because it erased all of the other movies. So I did not go into X-Men Apocalypse with very high hopes, especially since they were reintroducing my favorite character, Jean Grey, and they had cast Sansa Stark as Jean Grey, which I thought I was going to have a really hard time getting past. And I did not. She actually did a really good job.
Good actress?
Yeah, she did a really good job.
She's my least favorite on Game of Thrones.
She is also my least favorite on Game of Thrones, too, which is why I think I was going to have the problem. But I think that shows what a good actress she is, because I don't think you're supposed to like Sansa that much. You're supposed to feel bad for her, maybe, but you don't, because she was such a bitch at the beginning of the TV show. But no, she did a good job. And there was a lot of things in this movie that I was like, all right, they're taking some liberties with this storyline. Poe Dameron, I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who played Poe Dameron, he was Apocalypse.
No, I wanted to quick say, Jimmy, I don't know if you saw his quick post online, but buddy Jimmy McKnight over at Ninja Starship, he posted, "It did the three things that I want a movie to do. Made me laugh, made me cry, and made me mad. And laugh is good. Made you cry. I don't want to go into a movie wanting to cry or be mad. Why do I want to be mad in a movie?"
Right.
You briefly told me some things that you won't spoil.
Yes.
Because I haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But,
I cried actual tears during this movie. Like, actual uncontrollable tears. Nobody else in the theater was crying. Nobody. I'm sure people were probably, like, looking at me because I was sobbing uncontrollably during a certain part of the movie. But there is one part of the movie that completely justified this movie for me, and I would go see it again just to watch this one specific part of the movie, because it was so beautifully done and something I have been waiting for my entire X-Men watching life, besides the animated cartoon, because they did it pretty legit in that one. So anybody who knows me well enough probably figured out what I was talking about. But you'll have to go see the movie to figure it out. But it was probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in an X-Men movie. So, movie as a whole, okay. Olivia Munn, pretty hot.
Yeah, she is.
Pretty hot in the movie. Didn't have a lot of lines to say.
I don't think she was cast for her lines.
She trained her ass off, and you could tell. She did a really good job. Storm, the girl that they cast as Storm, they did her origin story, and they did her origin story, actually, pretty correctly, but instead of being the Shadow King that brings her in to the fold, it was Apocalypse. So they actually did that pretty legit. Nightcrawler was hilarious and adorable. But
were there any good cameos that popped up that, like, you didn't see coming? Like, or they didn't?
You
could spoil a little bit for me.
Okay, so, spoilers, skip ahead if you don't want to know anything about this movie. Wolverine was in the movie way more than I thought he was going to be. Because I thought he was just, from what I understood, he was going to be in the movie, but it was going to be a very brief shot. He was a significant part of this movie, actually. And it was the Wolverine that every fanboy wishes has been Wolverine for a while, because he does some damage during the movie. But of course, the end of the movie, I don't know if you want to know this, Tony. I don't know if you want me to spoil this for you. The after credit scene.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm sure, listeners don't.
Stay for the after credit scene.
It is a little too new. Maybe next week we can talk a little bit especially after I see it.
My suggestion is make sure you stay for the after credit scene. If you don't pick up, it's very subtle. If you don't read X-Men, if you don't know a lot about X-Men in the past, you're not going to get it. It's very subtle. But it's awesome. And
would people that haven't read X-Men, though,
no,
will not just get that, but they'll enjoy this movie, though, as a whole?
Yes. It's full-on eye candy.
Okay,
for
action
sure.
And
yeah, and they set up Apocalypse in a way that's very easy to take in a short period of time, because the Apocalypse...
So pretty much you're going to be pissing me off, and it's not comic book?
Okay. Yeah, Yeah, and the horsemen, a little lackluster. I mean, they don't name them at all. He doesn't call them, like, death or famine or anything like that. They're just his... He gets four people who he imbues with a little bit of extra power. Like,
every time he's around, he's got four people with him.
Yes.
His horsemen.
Yes.
That's, I've seen that in the preview. Like, essentially. That sounds so lame, but...
Yeah. But his origin in the movie, they did, I thought, pretty well. They did a good job setting him up. So, it... In terms of an X-Men movie as a whole, I was pretty okay with it. It was magnified for me because of a very short scene. So,
all right. There really isn't much more news out there this week. Like, it seemed like everyone in the comic sphere just decided to be like, it's going to be a good weekend. There is a couple things, and there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline, though. Obviously, it being summer, people are getting ready for E3 is going to be happening in a couple short weeks, so we'll probably start talking a little bit more about some video games coming out, some new systems, and then San Diego Comic-Con, which we love cons, we like to talk, but that's the one where a lot of shit gets unveiled.
Oh, yeah.
And Mattel has kind of announced some exclusives just for that con. And
I feel like this is the only reason you'd ever want to go to San Diego.
It's not the only reason. I would love just to say that I went. I mean... There are a lot of people that, for whatever which reason, to say you went to that con at one point, it's the mecca of all cons.
It's like nerd cred.
I've gone, totally nerd cred. I've been to, doesn't matter where you've been, I've been to San Diego, have you? Yeah. Nope, right. You haven't? All right. Well, I went to this one, this Wizard World, this one.
No, cool.
But, and I mean, and it's not even that it's the largest anymore, because there are a couple other larger ones. But it's because it's the one that everyone has always talked about as being
the
Comic-Con. That is Comic-Con. And when we talk Comic-Con, too, to our friends, we know which ones we're talking about when we're coming up to one. Are you going to Comic-Con? Because it's the next one, closest one, where we're going. But you talk to anyone individually on the streets, they always assume San Diego.
Yeah.
So with that, a couple, like, there's going to be some more eye candy toys that I'm just going to be like, these are sweet, but... In and of itself, some of the things that I saw from Mattel, the two, which it's weird to say that I would want these, but I do. And the first one is a Barbie Wonder Woman doll.
If you would have said that to me just in a random conversation, I would be like, okay, you just want a doll you can masturbate to, but I saw the Wonder Woman doll, and she's fucking awesome looking.
It looks badass. Yeah. And with the retail price of $80, and that's just retail price, that means that shit's going to be going for thousands of dollars on eBay after the show.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks...
Well, exclusive, for sure.
Yeah, it looks very, very good. Like, it looks like Wonder Woman. I wouldn't even have known that was a Barbie doll if not knowing that it's Barbie brand and that's the Barbie model and everything. It just looks like a really well-done figure.
Yes.
And I like that that's a predominant one that people are talking about now because women figurines are not prolific.
Well, no, because I think guys for a long time maybe... And it may be even like they wanted to collect those things, but there was such a stigma behind guys... having a Barbie doll.
Well, that's, or it's the stupid marketers that think only guys buy stuff when there are many women that, and not even, so it's the women market, but then even the market of just in general, guys that are nerds understand the collection means there are women in comics, let's have figures of them. That in of itself is number one, but then there's also a badass She-Ra as well that...
Yeah, that one, she looks like She-Ra.
Yeah.
She looks like She-Ra from the
Masters
cartoon.
Of the Universe.
Oh my god. And She-Ra was my jam when I was younger. And she looks awesome. And she's super articulated.
Yeah, so those two, and it's like I said, they're I'm not sexist. I'm not feminist, you know, I love
vaginas.
I love dolls.
going further down in the releases. Something that caught my eye was the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle line that they're coming out that's based on the video game.
They're not coming out with it. It's also an exclusive.
Yes.
Because the licensing rights and everything, but you can get away with it when you do exclusives at the con.
Right.
Those look fucking sweet.
They look so amazing. And they're made to look 8-bit, which I think is...
Well, because it's based off of the game that we know and love, the Turtles game in arcades or Chuck E. Cheese's. And with that being said, like, the paint on it, it's from, what is the company, NECA?
NECA, yep.
And they've done some other really cool exclusive stuff at conventions before, but these ones...
They look fucking sweet.
Yeah, I would totally, like, even posing them and just looking at the way that the 8-bit spots of the coloring on the toys are...
Oh, heck yeah.
Looks like they're models from the game.
So when I first looked at the pictures, I was like, something's wrong with my screen. These pictures aren't... Oh, wait, no, they're 8-bit. They're literally made to look like the arcade game, which... Fucking, that's amazing to me, and I want all of them.
Another big... only other big news, actually, that we even found scouring the webs... Valiant is just revealed a record-setting cover for EXO Manowar number 50. And with it, it's a jam cover. It has 50 different artists who drew Manowar in their style.
Right.
Because that's what at first I was hearing about this and being like, what's so colossal about this or record-setting? Because... Already Deadpool had the record setting with
the most characters.
Characters, yeah.
Yeah.
So are they going to have, like, you know, 101, 102 people? And then I'm like, wait, there's 50 of them. What's that mean? But to have 50 different artists draw a character right. in their style and how they would draw him, or even, like, the different versions of him for one way or another, and it looks beautiful. It very much so is a poster or a print that I would... Because I don't buy prints anymore. I just have so many of them hanging around my house. I don't have space.
It's an addiction.
Yeah, very much so. This is one of those pieces that, even though that I sometimes get some of the Valiant stuff digitally, this is one I'm going to pick up just because of this cover.
Well, and the nice thing, so jam pieces are great. Traditionally, you would take a piece of paper and take it around to cons and have somebody draw. And I would assume that they didn't do that. I would assume that they had... every single artist draw something and then they just digitally put them together. But how awesome would it be to get this comic book and have, like, make it your goal to have every single artist sign this book? Could you imagine?
That would be
funny. Could you imagine?
I can't imagine. Like, some of the people that are on this, I can't imagine, because that there's a lot of fucking talented artists on here. I mean, Neil Adams, he's one that...
Yeah.
That'd be hard.
You pay him $50 and he'll sign anything.
That is true. We know that. Eric Canetti, Sean Chen, who else is on here? Butch Goosey, Kano, I remember seeing Jeff Lemire.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Mike McCone. Oh, man. Just going down this
it's
list.
It's like a who's who of
Paulo,
like...
Rivera.
Yeah.
Like, there, yeah, it is a who's who of, and whoever wasn't on this kind of like, why the fuck did
right?
I do this, like, right now? Like,
damn my exclusive contract with Marvel.
So that's actually something people definitely should probably.
And that comes out,
I think it's.
Not till, like, August.
September.
September, yeah, it's a while.
So you have the knowledge now to say, hey, this is going to probably sell quickly because
put it on your fucking pull list.
Yeah. Just ask them. Even if you're not... You should be reading Manowar, though. Like I said, I've been catching up on some of my Valiant, and Manowar being kind of the staple of that universe. Book of Death, that's when I kind of fell off. I'm trying to reread, and I'm getting to my whole thing is, regardless of the book or not, just get it for this cover, man.
Right.
This is going to be worth it. The price of admission, so do it. We are definitely running a little bit long, so we should get to
Booze
in a Book.
So, Archie, Afterlife with Archie, finally came out with issue number 9 this week, which I was super excited about, because Sabrina also came out this week, and it's been a while. So this book was all about Reggie, and I don't know how much you know about Archie, but Reggie's one of Archie's.
Well, I know a bit about Archie.
He's one of his friends.
No, I'm not even going to talk about his friends. I'm just going to say, about Archie, I know enough to where I've loved this book. I can't even remember what the fuck's going on in the book, though.
I know, because it's been so long, right? But the nice part about the book, obviously, with any good comic book that's taken a huge break, giant fucking, remember what happened in the last issue? In case you don't, we're going to give you the entire rundown.
But it should be like 5 pages, because...
That's true.
Even though, What number is this again?
Nine.
It's, yeah, number nine?
It's...
There's so much that has happened
oh,
in
I know.
Eight issues prior.
Right. And I was noticing, so the art in this is by the amazing Frank Avia, right? The date on this is 2014.
On the cover.
For the cover, yeah. So it's 2016, guys. I mean, you clearly had this planned ahead of time. I don't know why it's taking so long, but it's okay. I still love you because this book is amazing. But this entire book is about Reggie. So it goes into, like, how he felt kind of always separated from their little group of friends, how he felt like he was a little bit of a darker person. And, spoilers, Reggie feels personally responsible for the zombie apocalypse because he fucking hit Hot Dog with his car.
Mm-hmm.
So he killed Hot Dog. He went and put Hot Dog
at Jughead's house.
Jughead found Hot Dog dying and had Sabrina reanimate him, and that's what started the zombie apocalypse. So Reggie has been racked with this guilt that he's the one who brought this all about. And he thought that the best way to fix it was to go, like, sacrifice himself to the zombies, and that would end it. Like, that was going to be what ended it. So he goes... And this is where, so, I don't know if, are you reading Sabrina, too?
Yes.
So, the Sabrina book and the Archie book are separate.
Yeah.
But Sabrina's also in Archie. At one point, she becomes the Bride of Cthulhu. She's the mistress of the underworld. She's leading the zombie horde. They run into Reggie. He's going to go sacrifice himself to the zombies. They part for him. Instead of attacking him, they part for him. And he runs into Sabrina. And she's like, you're supposed to be my Dark Lord.
Ooh.
And he embraces his dark side, and he absolves himself from this guilt. And so I'm pairing this with this beer that's making me feel really good right now. This Final Absolution from Dragonmead. It's a triple ale. You've been drinking it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes fabulous. And it's making me drunk. I'm a little drunk right now. But anyway, so Reggie gets absolved from his guilt. Much as this beer will make you absolved from feeling anything if you drink enough. But, guys, go pick up. If you haven't read Afterlife with Archie yet, fucking pick this book up. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most amazing things that's happening in comics right now. And you have to be willing to put in some time.
Yes, yes, yes. Or patience as well.
Yes. This book teaches you a lot of patience.
Well, good. Well, final word this week is pretty short and simple. Whenever you're out and about, just make sure if someone else is coming after you, just hold the door.
Oh no, sad. Oh, stay thirsty for more beer.